Saba Alkir. Ismi Peter Graham.
Asmi ho Steve McDonald. You say Adena Anikan Hana.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I'm seeing it.
They all look like a, look at us like they don't understand what we're saying.
They still are. Like, what's going on?
Are they still
like,
there?
What? Oh, no.
How could we miss that?
You're right.
All right.
Sorry.
Good morning. I am Peter Graham.
And I'm Steve McDonald.
Steve and I gave a version of this talk on our trip to Israel this summer, and it seems, we forgot to change the opening back to English. Although, you know, when we spoke in Arabic at the Mosaic Church, they kind of had the same expressions you guys did.
You're right.
It was almost like they didn't understand what we were saying. Must have been our accent.
I think it was. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Well, whatever it was, we'll speak in English for the rest of the morning, okay? Let's pray and we'll begin, okay? Dearest Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you so much for this chance to speak what we hope are your words, what we believe are your words. Father, please be with us today as we attempt to do that. Open everyone's hearts and open everyone's ears to hear your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to give you a little bit of a history on how this talk came about. When Steve and I heard that we'd be speaking at Mosaic Church, we were really excited about the opportunity, and we both went away and prayed, asking God to give us the message that he wanted us to give. When we met for breakfast a little bit later, we both had heard the same answer. Our message would be about living water, the Holy Spirit within us. Having heard the same thing, we began to make our plans. And we had some great plans.
Yeah, they were good.
We thought we were going to speak about Qumran, where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, and the Essenes, the people who lived there, how they built all these waterways and cisterns so that they would always have fresh, clean, flowing water to perform their ritual bathing. We planned to talk about the Dead Sea and En Gedi. After all, we already had seen the Dead Sea once, and we were going to be visiting En Gedi during this trip this summer. We planned to talk about areas that our audience would be familiar with. That is what we planned. And we started to work, and something happened. Well, actually, nothing happened. It seemed that no matter what either one of us did, the words just wouldn't come. So we met again to see how we were progressing, and it was clear we were in trouble.
Big time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, now, there may be two women over here that'll be shocked to hear this part. But we decided to ask for direction. We prayed for clear direction about what we were to speak about. And again, we heard living water, the Holy Spirit.
Now, being reassured that we were on the right path, we again approached the topic of living water. This time relying on God to provide us the words. And here we are. Now we will be looking at two bodies of water in the Judean wilderness. Both bodies of water are fed by the same source. The first is the Sea of Galilee, which is very much alive and teeming with life in and around it. While the other's name describes it perfectly. The second body of water is the Dead Sea. We're going to look at what makes these two bodies of water so different. During our trips to Israel, we had opportunity to visit both these seas. We enjoyed a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. We had a nice shore lunch of fish. Well, okay, most of us had a shore fish lunch.
No fish.
That had been caught that day from its waters. And we also visited the Dead Sea. And we floated in. On it?
On
it. We floated on it. And while we were doing that, Peter and I both experienced something very unfortunate. Peter managed to get some of that water in his mouth. I managed to splash him in my eyes. I think I was laughing at him at the time. Peter said that the taste was, well, be completely honest, he couldn't describe the taste. Words like bad, terrible, disgusting apparently didn't do or describe it very well. And all I can say is the stinging in my eye was a pain I've never felt before in my life. One body of water has people swimming in it. It provides fresh fish. It supports waterfowl and vegetation. The other, with the exception of one algae living deep in the waters, has no life in or around it. Why are these bodies of water so different?
Well, let's start by looking what they have in common. Both are below sea level. They actually each have the distinction of being the lowest body of water of their kind. One of them salt, one of them fresh. They both receive their water from the Jordan River. It flows into the Sea of Galilee from the north. It flows out of the Sea of Galilee and southwards on towards the Dead Sea. And you see, there's the difference. The water flows into the Sea of Galilee, but it also flows out, keeping that sea healthy and vibrant, teeming with marine life. However, because of the Dead Sea's low elevation, no water flows out of it. It's like a large cistern of water that just sits. It doesn't flow. And anyone who's ever seen a pond or a swamp where the water doesn't move knows that that water soon goes very, very bad. The only water leaving the Dead Sea exits through evaporation, meaning that all the salts, all the minerals, anything else that goes into it stays there. Two bodies of water. They both receive the same gift, fresh water from the Jordan River. One teems with life, the other is dead. The prophet Jeremiah speaks about a similar gift. In chapters 2, verse 13, and chapter 17, verse 13, where he tells us that God is the spring of living water. Ezekiel also speaks about the source of living water and what it does. This is Ezekiel chapter 47. Verses 1 and 2, we're told about how Ezekiel is led to the temple by a man and sees a small trickle of water coming from the temple. Here reading verses 3 to 6. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross. Because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river.
Now normally, if you find water running out from underneath your front door, it means either someone forgot to turn off a tap or you got a broken pipe. Neither one of these situations are very good because your house is full of water. But the water Ezekiel sees is coming from the temple of God. Revelation 22:1 says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb." The water Ezekiel sees is the water of life. It is pure. It is holy. And it starts out as just a trickle. But as he walks along with the man for 1,000 cubits, that's about 1,500 feet or 460 meters, depending on which generation you were raised in, the water becomes ankle deep. And as he goes further, 1,000 cubits at a time, the water gets deeper, wider, up to your knee, up to your waist. And finally, Ezekiel cannot walk through the water. It has become so deep that no one can swim in it. It's deep and wide. No one can cross. And as we read these verses, there are two things, two very different things, that we can take from them. The first is how we can learn to trust in God. Because there are times when we search for understanding because something's happened, and we don't have to look too deeply. We find it easy to understand, very similar to walking through water up to our ankles. And there are times when we face a situation When understanding is more difficult, we must go deeper into our search. We must trust in God just a little bit more. These times are more of a struggle, but we are always better and stronger for those efforts. Just as if we were walking through water up to our knee or waist. And then there are times in our lives that it doesn't matter how hard we struggle or try to understand what's going on. It is not within our abilities. And we find ourselves that we must rely on God and trust in Him completely.
There's something else we can see in these verses. And that is how people can and do approach this river of living water. People can choose to stay on the bank and never enter the water, never accept the gift of life which flows from the living water. Many people hear and accept the gifts of the living water, but only venture out into the shallow water, up to their ankles. They receive the gifts of salvation and the Holy Spirit, which comes with acceptance, and that's it. They're satisfied and never go into the deeper water. Some people go further into the stream, into the knee-deep water, and they begin to recognize the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given them and the love they have received. But they're hesitant to use these gifts. There are those who wade out deeper where the water is waist deep, and they begin to use their gifts. And as they do, they're renewed and transformed on the inside. Their gifts begin to get stronger, and they find they can do more and are given more. And finally, there are people who go deep, completely into the water, out into the depths where they're no longer in control and have submitted fully to and are completely reliant on God and the indwelling and infilling of His Holy Spirit. Ezekiel tells us about the stream of living water and how the flow increases. Jesus, at the Feast of Tabernacles, provides us with more insight into the living water.
From John 7, verses 37 and 39, it says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The scripture Jesus speaks about is Isaiah 58:11, which says, "The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." John explains that the gift of living water is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells us what must happen with this gift of living water. He says the rivers of living water will flow from within them. Just as the Jordan flows into the Sea of Galilee, it flows out. And because of that, there is life. The sea is fresh. It is renewed. When we drink the living water, the Holy Spirit will indwell and infill us. He lives within us and has the power to transform us. Through the Holy Spirit, God gives us gifts. Each one of us receive different gifts, but they are all for His purpose. They're not given to us so that we keep them for ourselves. Rather, that we use them, pour them out, if you will, onto others. And as we begin to live by this pattern, our lives begin to experience transformation through the Holy Spirit. We begin to experience new life. We can see the transformational power of the Holy Spirit as Ezekiel describes what happens as the river, the one that began as just a trickle from under the threshold of God, now flows into the Dead Sea. Picking up in Ezekiel 47, verses 7 through 12, "When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, 'This water flows towards the eastern region and down into the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water will become fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Engelum. There will be places for spreading the nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear new fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve as food, and their leaves for healing.
Ezekiel has described some amazing things in his vision, and we'll quickly take some time to look through them again. Listen to verse 9 again. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Picture behind me is the area around the Dead Sea. There's not much alive around it. God loves us. He gives us life through living water, through the Holy Spirit. Wherever the living water flows, what was dead and unusable is made fresh and given purpose. Verse 12 tells us not only does he give us life, make us new creations, but he provides everything we need. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water of the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. He provides us with food. He heals and restores. And as we speak about everything that happens wherever the river flows, did you notice verse 11? Did you notice what didn't happen in verse 11? The marshes and swamps didn't become fresh. Why leave the marshes and the swamps? Don't make a mistake here. This verse is not saying that the river failed to restore those areas. Rather, it's yet more evidence of the discerning and continual provision of God. Even to this day, we use salt to preserve our food. The river will bring us transformation, life, healing, abundance, and even preservation. I encourage each person who hears this message to do a couple of things. Go deeper. Deeper into the living water, just as Ezekiel did. Allow God to lead you to a place where you must rely on him. And use those gifts that you've received. Pour them out onto the people around you, the people you meet. As you do, you will experience and enjoy the transformation which will come as the Holy Spirit grows stronger within you.
Now, if you're not sure what this allowing the Holy Spirit to flow out of you and using your gifts to build his church look like, try and remember some of the faces of the international workers that we've had come to visit in the last couple of years here. That's what it looks like. Or simply look around this room. You'll see many faces of people who are following God and pouring the Spirit into others. Just think of the countries the people from this church have gone to in the last couple of years. Peru, Africa, Cambodia, France. They're the first ones that come to mind. All so that people could pour the Spirit and share God's love onto others. And I want you to, you have to understand this. Using your gifts does not have to involve travel. We can help right here in our community. We can use our gifts right here. There are many agencies who would be very happy to have people assist them. And again, as you look around at those sitting beside you, people that we talk to almost every weekend. We have youth. We have adults that go to Regen all the time, using their gifts, preparing food or serving food, cleaning up, doing a craft, or simply having a conversation with somebody. and sharing God's love. There are so many ways that we can reach out. So many lives that we can pour into if we allow God to lead us. Using your gifts could be right within this church. You can volunteer to help in one of the many ministries which go on throughout the year. You can become a leader or a helper. You can be a teacher or an assistant in one of the rooms. You can be a greeter at the door, and if being up front is not what you like, you can be in the sound room, behind the scenes, working in the kitchen, helping to set up or clean up after one of the events that go on throughout the year. I think we can all agree. The world and the people in it desperately need God's love. And if we all use the gifts He has given us, the Holy Spirit can change people's lives and the world. The Sea of Galilee is alive and vibrant because it receives and it pours out. When speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus said, "Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a well, a spring of water welling up into eternal life." Jesus promised us eternal life. He promised the indwelling and infilling of the Holy Spirit, never thirsting, if we believe and trust in Him. So if you believe in Jesus, that He is Lord, and you have received the gifts from the Holy Spirit, use those gifts and allow God to lead you into the deeper water. Pour the Spirit out onto everyone we meet. He will renew us always. The other option is to not use His gifts. Hold on to what we have and that we've received. Keep them all to ourselves. Just like the Dead Sea receives water from the Jordan River, but does not pour back out. Peter and I hope, and it is our true, honest hope, that you are encouraged by this message and that you are emboldened to allow God to lead you into the deeper waters, and to use all the gifts that He has given you to build up His church. My friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day that You have given us. And we are thankful, Lord, that we as a family are able to come here today to worship You and hear Your word. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit flow mightily through everyone who has heard this message and through all my friends today, Lord. Encourage them, give them the will and the desire to discover their gifts and to use them on everyone that they meet. Lord, You can change this world. And we humbly ask that You use us to do that. In Jesus' precious name, amen.